Yashodanandana Brajajana Ranjana.
Yashodanandana Brajajana Ranjana.
Jamuna Tira Vanachari.
Jamuna Tira Vanachari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Gopijana Ballava Girivaradari.
Gopijana Ballava Giridharhari.
Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana.
Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana.
Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana.
Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana.
Jamuna Tiravanachari.
Jamuna Tiravanachari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
Shri Radha Madhava Asasaki Ki Jai.
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 Jai. Chaitanya Chandraya Mandir Ki.
Jai.
Narayanam Namaskrityam.
Narayanam Namaskrityam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devam Saraswatam Vyasam.
Tato Jaya Mudiraye.
Tato Jaya Mudiraye.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Jai.
So, I think we've been assigned text number 22. So this is Shrimad Bhagavatam. Canto 1, Chapter 9, The Departure of Bhishmadev, text number 22. Oh, so please repeat. Tatapi.
Tatapi.
Ekanta.
Ekanta.
Bhakteshu.
Bhakteshu.
Tatapi ekanta bhakteshu.
Tathapi
kanta bhakteshu.
Tathapi kanta bhakteshu.
Pashya.
Pashya.
Bhupa.
Bhupa.
Anukampitam.
Anukampitam.
Pashya bhup anukampitam.
Pashya bhup anukampitam.
Pashya bhup anukampitam.
Pashya bhup anukampitam.
Yan.
Yan.
May.
May.
Asun.
Asun.
Tyajataha.
Chajataha.
Sakshat.
Sakshat.
Yan me sungs cha tyajata sakshat.
Yan me sungs tyajata sakshat.
Yan me sungs tyajata sakshat.
Yan me sungs tyajata sakshat.
Krishna darshanam agataha.
Krishna darshanam agataha.
Tatapi ekanta bhakteshu.
Tatapi ekanta bhakteshu.
Pasya bhupanukampitam.
Pasya bhupanukampitam.
Yan me sunks chajitha sakshat.
Yan me sunks chajitha sakshat.
Krishna darshanam agataha.
Krishna darshanam agataha.
Bolye, somebody please chant.
Tatap ekanta bhakteshu.
Tatap ekanta bhakteshu.
Pasya bhupanukampitam.
Pasya bhupanukampitam.
Yan me sung chajata sakshat.
Yan me sung chajata sakshat.
Krishna darshanam agataha.
Krishna darshanam agataha.
Tatapi ekan bhakteshu.
Tatapi ekan bhakteshu.
Pasya bhupanukampitam.
Pasya bhupanukampitam.
Yan me sung chajata sakshat.
Yan me sung chajata sakshat.
Krishna darshanam agataha.
Krishna darshanam agataha.
Tatapi ekanta bhakteshu.
Tatapi ekanta bhakteshu.
Pasya bhupanukampitam.
Pasya bhupanukampitam.
Yan me sum sajata sakshat.
Yan me sum sajata sakshat.
Krishna darshanam agataha.
Krishna darshanam agataha.
Tatapi ekanta bhakteshu.
Tatapi ekanta bhakteshu.
Pasya bhupanukampitam.
Pasya bhupanukampitam.
Yan me sum chajata sakshat.
Yan me sum chajata sakshat.
Krishna darshanam agataha.
Krishna darshanam agataha. Tatapi.
Tatapi.
Still.
Still.
Ekanta.
Ekanta.
Unflinching.
Unflinching.
So the word tata api, it means like in spite of, or because in the last few verses, Bhishmadeva has been explaining how Krishna is equal to everybody. And so even though God is all powerful, he can create a rock that he can't lift. So even though Krishna is equal to everybody, still he's partial to his devotees. Tatapi still ekanta unflinching bhakteshu.
Bhakteshu.
Unto the devotees.
Unto the devotees.
So ekanta bhakteshu, unto the unflinching devotees. Pasya.
Pasya.
See.
See.
Bhupa. O King.
O King.
Okay. Anukampitam.
Anukampitam.
How sympathetic.
How sympathetic.
Yeah, it sounds like Romanchakamp. Romanchakamp. Yat.
Yat.
For which?
For which?
May.
May.
My.
My.
Asun.
Asun.
Life.
Life.
Gatasumscha. Tyajataha.
Tyajataha.
It seems like tyaja, giving up. Ending.
Ending.
Sakshat.
Sakshat.
So we all know that one, right? Directly.
Directly.
Krishnaha.
Krishnaha.
The personality of Godhead.
Personality of Godhead.
Darshanam.
Darshanam.
In my view.
In my view.
Yeah. Again, that's a real popular word. Agataha.
Agataha.
Has kindly come.
Has kindly come.
It's the word gatim, goal, gata, going. Like that. So now we go down here to the actual translation. Let's go back to the Sanskrit one more time. We can chant it all together again. I'll chant it. Tatapi ekanta bhakteshu pasya bhupanukampitam. Yame sungscha jata shakshat krishna darshanam agataha. Yet despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me while while I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. Please repeat. Yet despite his being equal to everyone, equally kind to everyone.
Despite his being equally kind to everyone.
He has graciously come before me.
He has graciously come before me.
While I am ending my life.
I am ending my life.
For I am his unflinching servitor.
For I am
his unflinching servitor. Well, Raj, just one thing before you begin. Prabhu, we have crossed the threshold. Today we have 27 devotees online right now. The limit for Skype was 24, so some I had to refuse, and they went to free conferencing. That's a good thing. However, everybody that's on Skype, we really need everyone to cooperate and to please make sure that you're muted. Because without being muted, there'll be a lot of background noise, typing, and just all kinds of things. So, right, if you look in your chat window, I have you can press on that if you need instructions on how to mute. But please, everyone at this time, mute so Maharaj can speak without background noise.
Ramananda,
yes?
People on the telephone also should mute as well.
Yes, yes. A mute button in your telephone, and you're calling in to ISKCON Hawaii, not through free conferencing, but direct. Yeah, please mute that. Okay. I hope that's enough. So thank you very much, Raj. Sorry for the interruption. Hare Krishna.
I was expecting it. Okay. It still sounds like somebody is typing, though. Okay, now it's gone.
It's
Radha Rani. Okay, Radha Rani is a big troublemaker. Yep. We know her.
My mute went off all by itself.
Yeah. The devil made me do it. Yeah. Okay. There we go. Okay, my goodness. Tatapi ekanta bhakteshu pasya bhupanukampitam yame sungs chajita shakshat krishna darshanam agataha. So the... we can read Srimad Bhagavatam like parrots. It's kind of like just doing it, karma, activity. And then we can understand intellectually, like what the verse number is, this comes before that, the three kinds of devotees, the three kinds of suffering, the the three modes of material nature, the three external energies, the three energies of Krishna, the relationship. So this is jnana, you know, grammar, logic, algebra, arithmetic. And it's all useful to put everything in different places like that so we can develop this kind of logical understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's wonderful. You know, it's better than a logical understanding of, you know, so many material things. And then karma, jnana, and then dhyana. And then we can actually begin to contemplate it, you know, roll it around in our mouth, you know, think about, what does that mean? Yeah. And then start to take it into our heart, because the heart is much more accommodating in terms of intelligence understanding. It's a whole thing on Sankhya. Most of the jnana goes in the head. But when it goes to the heart, we can develop these yantras, these very profound perspectives. Darshan. I was thinking darshana. Darshan means more like, some people say vision or point of view, but more it means like perspective. And six different perspectives, six different viewpoints like that. Yeah? And so then we have, karma, jnana, and dhyana. We can contemplate the holy names. We can contemplate Srimad Bhagavatam. And then from that point then we start to have real bhakti. You know, the bhava, vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava. We start to have real feelings coming, our actual feelings like that. And so it's a matter of cultivating those through different stages like that. So one thing about these verses is they all go in a real, you know, Vishnudeva's instructions as reading them, to me, they all go in a very natural sequence, you know. And taking one verse all by itself, sometimes, of course, we forget that perspective, you know. So the whole scene, of course, I'm here at my scene outside my window. I see about 25 cars coming and going. I'm kind of on a major side road in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And sometimes they're honking, you know. It's a very impersonal. I mean, there's so many people here, but they're all covered by steel, glass, aluminum, and they're all obeying very precise, impersonal rules about go on the green, stop on the red, drive on the right, you know, yeah, don't stop, you know. Nirvisesha shunyavadi. So we've created this whole impersonal atmosphere, you know, which makes it very difficult to have any personal relationships with anybody. You know? But that's the nature of the soul in Andamaya Vyasat. It's seeking rasa. You know? So we're in a big, big fix, you know, with all this situation. But Bishandev's situation, of course, is different. You know, he's all his material situation is practically speaking down to zero. I don't know if he was eating anything or not. He was taking water, of course. Arjuna shot the arrow into the ground and the water came out. So he was taking water, but that doesn't describe him eating anything. He certainly wasn't playing tennis or golf or, you know, or doing anything else. He was shot full of arrows. So in some ways, he was in a very enviable position because he had no attraction for material life. Sometimes when you do like a kadasi, a nirjala kadasi or something, or just taking water or anything, you see that so naturally the mind just stops thinking about, well, what am I going to eat? Well, I have a little fruit. All the mangoes are pretty ripe now, and this and that. And when am I going to sleep? So all these things, you know, disappear naturally. It's like an automatic reaction when we start doing these tyaja, the austerities to renounce things. So Vishnudeva, by Krishna's arrangement, he's probably very happy, was put into a situation of complete tyaga. You know, he was, you know, just completely detached, you know, from everything. And so in that position, of course, he could engage in developing his internal spiritual life to such a wonderful degree like that. I remember many years ago, I had a really bad fever, and I could just, you know, barely walk around the room, no question of going to the temple, chanting a few rounds. And it was very difficult, my mind and my body and this and that. So I had to chant and pray and you know, work to keep myself from suffering so much. But then maybe about 6 years later, the same thing happened again. And this time I could see that I was in the mode of goodness. You know, that I wasn't thinking about Krishna, but my intelligence was like renounced from things and wasn't worried about my body so much. And with some effort, then I could could think of Krishna. Then again, about 6 years later, I noticed that, you know, it's happened again, heavy fever, I couldn't move so much, walk around a little bit. But then I noticed that when I was like, you know, dreaming or half awake, I was thinking about Krishna. I was thinking about different fights that I'd have with devotees or different festivals or actual stories, you know. So maybe Krishna was just showing me, getting ready for the time of death, the big fever. And so after 6 years, you have some level. After 6 years, another. So after 18 years, it was like really starting to get on the level of, you know, spontaneous attraction like that little bit. There's some car outside the window now with a boombox going. I don't know if it's because I haven't got a separate microphone.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So the ambience for the whole program is that Vishnudev is in this complete situation of renunciation. And there's so much affection between the Pandavas and Bhishma. They were involved in all these activities together. You Westerners can't understand how much emotion and feeling there is in these situations like that. You're all so helplessly raised up in this impersonal culture. But in so many ways, and especially the Pandavas, they were also in a helpless condition, and Kunti. So therefore, Bhishma Dev's good wishes and good intelligence and careful, thoughtful guidance, he wasn't just giving them, you know, rice, chapatis, and dal. He was giving them intelligence. He was using his, which is harder. It's easy just to go brain dead and do some simple service, wash pots, like that, you know. But to actually use your brains all day and think about things and work is a lot of work. So Bhishma Dev was always watching the whole situation. He would wonder about something. He'd say a few things to see how people would react. And then he would give advice to the Pandavas, to Kunti, to Vidura, about how to try and arrange a situation, and especially for the Pandavas. You know? So now he's going to leave, and they need him more than anything, because now they're facing all these big emotional problems. They've killed off half the people in the world or something, and you know, Yudhishthira says there's bound to be reactions and inimical feelings from all the relations of those people who died, you know, all the sons and cousins and everybody else. And so they're in a very difficult situation, you know. But Vishnudev is going to leave. And so finally when they come, and then not only them, but all the great rishis in the world have also come, all the great scholars and everybody else. There must be a lot of people there, you know. Must be properly pavilion, but it must have been a pavilion. Not just, I don't think, allowing Vishnudev to lie out in the sun, you know. So there must have been a whole, you know, proper arrangement for a pavilion, tents or something else, with all these rishis and everybody there. Something. But it was the best ambience, best atmosphere. Yeah. And so then Vishnudev, he greets everybody properly. He's in the consciousness properly. And then we'll see, of course, in the whole chapter, he's appreciating Yudhisthira's absorption. Different things happen in life, and so we become absorbed in thinking about those. You know, you may have some, harsh contact with some devotees, harsh conflict with some devotees over something, and then for weeks or even years after that, you'll be remembering that and thinking about it and trying to go through it again and again and to resolve the conflict and the distress that it caused, you know. This is kind of Baba, you know, different levels of human existence. So Bhishma appreciates, of course, the Yudhisthira's, you know, feelings and real focus, his consciousness. And his consciousness is focused on the results of this big battle and his own feeling of culpability, that he's the, you know, culprit. He could have avoided all this. And so then, very much like Bhagavad Gita, you know, Bhishmadeva starts talking to him about the fundamental principles of material nature, like that. several times, hearing like, or seeing like, you know, Prabhupada preaching to people, or hearing like, conversations. Many times, ordinary people probably start with these basic things like that. For example, are you the supreme controller? Maybe not as exactly saying that, but coming to that point of actually, you know, bringing this point, Bhoktaram Yagnatapishyam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. So, are you the supreme controller? Of course, if you're not the supreme controller, how can you be the supreme enjoyer? You know, if things aren't under your control, because when somebody unenjoyable things, you know, will happen if you're not the supreme controller. So if you talk to people about this, and some people, of course, know they're fixed on this idea that I'm in control. One time, Sri Dayananda Maharaj is talking about this, and he says, in materialistic consciousness, every man thinks, you know, I'm going to conquer the world. Well, I got to admit that dog was more powerful than me, you know, or that administrator was able to conquer me, or that guy was able to, you know, beat me up and chase me away. But in the future, I'm going to conquer the world. So in materialistic consciousness, every man is thinking, I'm going to conquer the world. But he went on to say, but in materialistic consciousness, every woman is thinking, that's okay, let him conquer the world. I'll conquer him. And of course, children are thinking, I'll conquer mommy and daddy. I'll force them to do what I want them to do. So it's the whole material consciousness. You know, I'm the controller. Ishwaraham, aham bogi, siddham, balavan, suki. So Bhishmadev is, you know, giving these basic instructions to Yudhisthira that everything's under the control of Krishna. And there's a little bit of a subtle relationship, because Krishna's right there. Krishna was trying to stop these things from happening, you know, along with Bhima and Arjuna. But still, Yudhisthira was subjected to all these things, his family, his friends, his loved ones. You know, so there's a little bit of separation of Krishna right away as Rasaraj, you know, from being the Parameshwara. And so, yeah, Krishna may let time factor go on. It's under his control. It's arranging things. And it's the supreme controller. But behind that is a whole matter of taste and flavor. And so that's knowing Krishna in a higher sense. So Krishna allowed these things to happen. Krishna himself was lamenting because they were happening. And so Bhishmadev is creating a real, you know, intelligent understanding of spiritual life, reality, like that. And then finally, after explaining that, you know, you shouldn't lament for these things. You shouldn't be unhappy, Yudhisthira, because it's all being controlled by, you know, justice, righteousness. So therefore, there's no need for lamentation. Brahma-bhuta, prasanatma, na sochati, na kankati. Yeah? So you're on this level of the absolute truth. You know, time is a supreme controller, and therefore you should have no lamentation and no hankering. Sama sarvesha bhuteshu ma bhaktim labhite param. And then we can go to a little bit higher topics like that, you know, about how to see the situation in terms of bhakti and things like that. You know? But in this verse, he's finishing off his discussion of this kind of Brahman, the comprehension of the world, Paramatma, Dasyaras. And he's talked about people in general, but now he's bringing out this subtle point that it's not impersonal. Krishna is equal to everybody, but if you want to approach him as a person, then he's also equal to that. It's not that he's denying it to somebody. No, it's open to everybody. You know, but some people, they take advantage of that. And then he personally deals with them in a personal sense like that. Of course, this is the big topic, even in the all the way in the Bhagavatam, of course, when we come to the, was it, seventh canto? In the sixth canto, at the end there's a story of how Vishnu helped the demigods to defeat Vritasura. And so the question might be come up then, you know, is Krishna really equal to everybody? Because is Vishnu really equal to everybody? So then in the seventh canto, Sukadeva Goswami, of course, he presents the story of Hiranyakasipu. It's not actually the story of Prahlad in some ways. It's more the story of Hiranyakasipu. And Hiranyakasipu, he would only approach Krishna as an enemy. So Krishna was so kind that he reciprocated that. You know? Maybe you and I can't do that when people approach us as they're looking for a fight. And so we can't handle it. We have to avoid those kind of things. Otherwise, we get, you know, involved in the whole fighting spirit and the false egoism. But Krishna can do that. He can fight like anything And after getting it out of his system, the person he was fighting with realizes this person wasn't fighting with me like any kind of selfish motive. This person was fighting with me just because he realized that's what I needed. You know, it was for my benefit. Wow. And of course, you see Prabhupada is expert at doing that, arguing with people. And in the end, they feel very happy that he argued with them. You know? So maybe for us, we got a little bit more careful about that. But is Krishna, he can reciprocate these things and then purify the personality. You know? So here, Vishnudeva is presenting this idea that, yeah, Krishna is equal to everybody. But he takes it one more step, tatapi. He's especially inclined to his devotee, that because the devotee wants a special relationship. So there's nothing, what's the word, unfair or unequal about that. Yet despite his being equally kind to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I am ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. Purport. The Supreme Lord, the absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, although equal to everyone, is still more inclined to his unflinching devotee, who is completely surrendered and who knows no one else as his protector and master. Having unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as one's protector, friend, and master, having unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord as one's protector, friend, and master, is the natural condition of eternal life. A living entity is so made by the will of the Almighty that he is most happy when placing himself in a condition of absolute dependence. The opposite tendency is the cause of fall down. The living entity has this tendency of falling down by dint of misidentifying himself as fully independent to the Lord, to lord it over the material world. The living entity has this tendency of falling down by dint of misidentifying himself as fully independent to lord it over the material world. The root cause of all troubles is therefore in false egoism. Yeah. One must draw towards the Lord in all circumstances. The root cause of all troubles, therefore, is false egoism. Remember, Prabodhananda Saraswati in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, he says, when we see good food and good drink, we should think, this is the beginning of all of my problems. Like that. Yeah. So that's lording it over the material world. I can drink you. I can drink this. I can wash it over my tongue. I can feel it entering my blood and having a reaction in my body, my eyes, my energy. Or I can chew this and swallow it. It's palatable. Yeah. And then just feel it burning my throat on the way down. And when it hits my stomach, and of course, then it goes more gross in terms of, you know, dominating the office, sex, you know, for our kundalini gratification. Mm. But the root cause of all troubles is there in false ego, that I'm the enjoyer, you know, rather than the enjoyed, like that. Mm. The appearance of Lord Krishna at the deathbed of Bhishmaji. Prabhupada says Bhishmaji. Notice he's subtle here. Prabhupada could have said Bhishmadev, Bhishmaji, which is more like a phrase of affection for an equal, like that, or something. Yeah. You know, as you go on, you can begin to sense Srila Prabhupada's feelings and relationships to the different people. The appearance of Lord Krishna at the deathbed of Bhishmaji is due to his being an unflinching devotee of the Lord. Arjuna had some bodily relation with Krishna because the Lord happened to be his maternal cousin. But Bhishma had no such bodily relation. Therefore, the cause of attraction was due to the intimate relation of the soul. Yeah. So again, Prabhupada's, you know, making this point that Krishna's not there because of any kind of material consideration. You know, we go to a funeral because, you know, we're feeling somebody's gone and we're going to suffer. And they were a large part of our complex of psychological satisfaction and material satisfaction. Yeah. And so we're going to their funeral because of that, you know, and to you know, keep up our prestige and proper, you know, position in the society, you know, like that. And so it's not because of that, you know, why he's there. Arjuna has a relationship, you know, as Bhishma also, I guess not also, he's the one. Kunti, maybe some are related. But it's because of the relationship with the soul, you know. But then there's a kind of little twist here. Therefore the cause was the attraction of the soul. Yet because the relation of the body is very pleasing and natural, the Lord is more pleased when he is addressed as the son of Maharaj Nanda, the son of Yashoda, the lover of Radharani. Yeah. So that seems like, you know, Prabhupada is contradicting himself. Saying we should get a little material love. When dentist, I was on the airplane, and when the guy next to me was a dentist, intelligent person, we were talking about life and renunciation, and he was saying, well, it's all very nice, but I think you should get a little earthly love also. He was talking to Arbus, you know, sannyasi. Yeah, no, none of that. Even a little bit is unpleasant. You know, absolutely no earthly love. You know? Because Bhavi Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Shrimati Radharani, they aren't earthly beings. Yeah. And so here, the bodily relationship is pleasing because it's a reflection of the spiritual relationship. In the mode of goodness, we just see it as like a reflection of the spiritual relationship, and we use it, you know, our family relations, is to keep ourselves fixed in proper spiritual consciousness. And when we're slipping off a spiritual platform, we can see our family relations, and that can help us push us right back. Yeah. So the mode of goodness. In the mode of passion, it starts to become distorted, and we start to want these insane desires, you know, for things. Yeah. We start to think about how I can get this from that person. Oh, she is mine, I can exploit her. He is mine, I can exploit him. They, my children, they, my grandparents, you know, my nation. And the mode of ignorance is completely reversed, upside down. The mirror is not just distorted, the mirror is upside down. You know? And so now we think we are enjoying. The camel is chewing the thorns and is cutting his tongue and there's nice tasty blood like that. So he loves eating the thorns like that. Ghastly. Yeah. So in the mode of goodness, we can see these things. But Krishna comes, you know, to show us all these mellows, to show us all these different, you know, feelings of affection like that. And so therefore, Krishna likes to be called Yashoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana, Radha Priya. This is, yeah. Yeah. Yet because the relation of the body is very pleasing and natural, the Lord is more pleased when he is addressed as the son of Maharaj Nanda, the son of Yashoda, the lover of Radharani. This affinity for bodily relation with the Lord is another feature of reciprocating loving service with the Lord. And Rupa Goswami described, I was trying to find it, I couldn't find it. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's describing there's two kinds of attraction. One is kama rupa, I think, which is for actual physical sensual attraction for Krishna, for Krishna's service, attraction for rendering service to Krishna with the body and the sensuous aspect. So it's not actually so much the service that's being given, but that the body itself is being given, giving your breast milk, giving your lips, these kind of things. Okay. And other people on our level maybe are more just trying to do some service, you know, clean the pots, like that. But we're very happy, you know, that. So the bodily relationship is very natural, but it's hard to understand in our nasty condition. This affinity for bodily relation with the Lord is another feature of reciprocating loving service with the Lord. Vishnudeva is conscious of the sweetness of transcendental humor. Ah, he's conscious of this. And therefore, he likes to address the Lord as he likes it. Vijay Sake, Partha Sake. So it's in terms of his relationship with Arjuna, Arjuna's mother, Kunti, yeah, friend of Arjuna. It's interesting because Kunti's prayers at the very end, she goes through all these speculations. Some people say you come to please Lord Brahma. Some people say you come to take care of the pious king. Some people say you come to establish Dharma. Some people say you come to establish hearing and chanting. And so she finally gets she's purifying her view of who is Krishna. She knows Krishna is being chased around by, you know, this village lady, you know, Lady Yashoda. But she can't, it's bewildering to her. This is confusing, you know. But she's making advancement and finding the very end of her prayers, which are different than Bhishma's. She says, Shri Krishna, Krishna Saka, Vishni Rishta Bhavaga, Vishni Rishta Bhavana Drug. So Shri Krishna, Krishna Saka, oh Krishna, oh friend of Arjuna. So she knows Arjuna. She grows up with him. He's a little boy. She knows him very intimately in many ways. And so then through Arjuna, she can have an even better relationship with Krishna. Like that. So she knows him, and she doesn't give up her general relationship with him as a Kshatriya prince, and she's a queen. She doesn't give that up, but she enhances it with understanding him through Arjuna, and talking to Arjuna about these things. The best way, therefore he likes to address him as Vijayasaka, Parthasaki, etc. Exactly like Nandanandana or Yashoda Nandana. Yeah? The best way to establish our relation in transcendental sweetness is to approach him through his recognized devotees. One should not try to establish the relationship directly. There must be a via media, which is transparent and competent to lead us to the right path. So this one devotee, his name was Bill W. He's an alcoholic. So I don't know if he ever took initiation. I was still alive. It was many years ago, actually. But he was, you know, he was an alcoholic, and I think he's still from time to time, you know, he would have like a little indulgence and didn't want to, but still would have a fall. So he never was really qualified to take initiation. But so many people, he would like direct them to the temple and stuff like that, you know. I think we were out taking care of the Rath Yatra cars. We were building the Rath Yatra cars like in 1975 or something, 74 even. And it was an abandoned, it used to be a gasoline station there. And they'd given it up and moved out. So it was this kind of real kind of tough area. And you know, the panhandle next to the Golden Gate Park, Jayananda had the construction site there. Very nice. It was close to where the festival was. So it was one like gasoline station type. Size place. There was a small street in San Francisco, and there was like a barber shop across the street, something else. And it was real kind of like a tough area. And when I was there Sunday, when everybody would go to the Sunday feast, and I was there alone, kind of watching everything. And there was like a chain link fence around it, you know. Now looking, the barber was out front of his barber shop. Nice sunny day in San Francisco, some wind blowing off the ocean. He was talking to somebody. And there was another couple walking this way and another part of the street. It was on a corner. And somebody else, they're going this way and that way, you know. And suddenly I realized that everybody was intoxicated. Every single person I could see was intoxicated on something, you know, this and that, you know. Yeah. So we're trying to, approach Krishna. I forgot why I brought this up. The Radha Yatra cart, Jayananda. Anyway, okay, it's a good story. Yeah. So I was there with Jayananda, and this whole point of about approaching Krishna, one should not try to establish directly, it must be via media. Oh, yeah, yeah. So Bill W. was there. Bill was helping us doing construction work. That was Jayananda. Jayananda was the transparent via media for so many people, you know. You never felt like there was just no question in your mind. There was any desire whatsoever in his heart to eclipse Prabhupada. Nothing. And he was completely, sold out to Prabhupada. And so when you as you began to get closer to him and realize that, you realize his position. He's never going to try and exploit you to take your Krishna bhakti or Prabhupada bhakti for himself. And so he could engage so many people, And so Bill was there. He wasn't qualified to live in the temple, but he would do things, and he'd bring all kinds of extra produce, stuff in this one store. They had like old dated yogurt, and he'd bring that. And there was a bunch of black kids running around the neighborhood there, and he would buy comic books for them like that. And they could really relate to this, And then he would talk to them about Krishna and Prasadam, and some of them even came to visit the temple then, like that. So he was Padarshika Guru, He was showing the pathway, and he wasn't qualified to become Diksha Guru then, to formally give the process and to matriculate us and take our relationship in a formal relationship. Yes, I'll chant 16 rounds. Yes, I'll follow the four principles. Okay, here's the process. Here's the tools. Here's your beads. Here's your neck beads. He wasn't qualified to do that. And after that, in terms of initiated devotee, then maybe he was lacking in some comprehensions here and there, Prabhupada talks about neophyte pure devotee. If you look at our Anjana Sudha Academy basic text, Nectar of Instruction, there's a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Sri Satyaraj Khan. Satyaraj Khan. So if you follow that link, you'll find it's a conversation there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think where is it? Satyaraj Khan. What is the character of a devotee? I think it's verse number 4 or 5. You can look in the index for Satyaraj Khan. But if you follow that connection, it has an incredible discussion of about 4 or 5 verses where Satyaraj Khan is asking about who's a devotee, what is this? And there's that very important verse where it's talking about, what's the word? It was a Sanskrit word, but it means those things which we do, which get us ready for diksha. And Ramayana has discussed this. Prabhupada, is second initiation necessary? This was a really intense discussion from Jiva Goswami. Everybody else, they've talked about it a lot like that. So even if one is not following the four principles, even if one is not chanting 16 rounds a day, even if one is not getting up in the morning, he may be quite a purified person, and he may be doing some service which is quite satisfactory or quite engaging for Krishna in that, but it's mixed up with all the rest of the stuff. And so Krishna may be able to take it out very easily. So if you bring Krishna, you say, Krishna, I found this gold. It was out in the garbage like that, in a big, it was 5 pounds of gold, Krishna, gold coins, but it's all covered with garbage, So, okay, Krishna can wash off the garbage. Somebody else may not be able to do it. So there are neophyte pure devotees. He probably uses that term. This is simply a matter of some kind of formalities and work in devotional service, and very quickly they become advanced devotees. And there are people who are following nicely, they're in the mode of goodness, but they're kanista adhikari. They're worshiping the deity, doing other things. But they're not really concerned about pleasing Krishna all that much. They haven't come to that level yet. So therefore, there's different kinds of gurus, who are transparent in different ways. That's my comprehension about this. If you look at the last paragraph in Upadeshamrita, I got my link here somewhere. Okay, hang on 1 second here. Don't go away. It did go away. I just lost everything. Okay. Anyway, it's back. Okay. I'll open up my database all the way, and it should show me my hit list. Okay, there's my hit list. Bookmarks. Still waking up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, I've got nervous again. These robots are incredible. Speak my language. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Go to. I got it. Okay. This is the last paragraph in text number 5 of the Upadeshamrita. And this is really In this verse, Srila Goswami advises a devotee to be intelligent enough to distinguish between Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, and Uddamadhikari. Okay, everybody, we should be able to figure out whether my guru, my president, the Jehovah's Witness I'm dealing with, is a Kanishtadhikari, Bin Laden, Kanishtadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, or Uddamadhikari. The devotee should also know his own position, okay, and should not try to imitate a devotee situated on a higher level, higher platform. Prabhupada also mentions this point in purport in Yashopanishad. He mentions it several times. So I got to watch out myself and I guess all of us that this is apparently a real common problem, trying to imitate a devotee on a higher level. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given some practical hints to the effect that an Uttamadhikari Vaishnava can be recognized by his ability to convert many fallen souls to Vaishnavism. Okay, there's one check. He also says he opens many temples. One should not become a spiritual master unless he has attained the platform of Uttamadhikari. Next is great here. A neophyte Vaishnava, third class devotee, or a Vaishnava situated on the intermediate platform, Madhyamadhikari, can also accept disciples. So it sounds like a contradiction. Yeah, one should not become a spiritual master until, those who aren't Uttamadhikaris can accept disciples. Such disciples must be on the same platform. So I was thinking that probably meant that, you know, the Kanishtadhikaris can only accept Kanishtadhikaris, and Madhyamadhikaris can't accept Kanishtadhikaris, they can only accept Madhyamadhikaris. But I think what Prabhupada is saying here, but such disciples must stay, continue on the same platform as their guru. Yeah? And it should be understood that they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. Therefore, a disciple should be careful to accept an Uttamadhikari as a spiritual master. So to me, this is exactly the situation that Prabhupada had arranged before he left. And it should be going on still. That people were chanting, as far as I know, probably Jayatirtha probably chanted on my beads, and Nittai probably chose my name, like that. But there's no question that it was Prabhupada is my guru, he's my acharya, he's the Uttamadhikari that I'm having relationship with through the Paramatma, through dreams, through his books, through his disciples, and ultimately through my sincere desire, Tesham Evanukam Paratam, to be connected with him. But I can also accept other people. For me, practically speaking, my strong connection to Prabhupada in terms of, like, you know, practical things and how Prabhupada did this and what Prabhupada would do was through Jayananda, and then Hansaduda, and then Bhakti Srupadamodar Swami. But I understood them all from their perspectives, you know, what their position is, and are they Kanishtadhikaris, Madhyamadhikaris, beginning Uttamadhikaris. So I think I had a pretty good perspective on their position, and therefore I was able to take advantage of them as transparent via media with that understanding, like that, you know, and then contact Prabhupada like that. So it's kind of my comprehension of this purport. It's a very nice purport, you know. And it's describing Bhishma Dev as, you know, taking us to a little bit higher level, right? Go back to my hit here. Okay, they're taking us to a little bit higher level of understanding beyond Krishna as everybody. Krishna is equal to everybody. Krishna is the Paramatma. No, but he's also a person. If you want to know him, if you want to know him, he's a person like that. He'll also reciprocate that way if you want to. And then it's describing beyond that, as a person, he's also has his friends, his family, a way of doing things. Yeah? And then we could begin to enter into that. And so for Bhishma Dev, I think he's beginning to enter into that. He's on this Dasya Ras with some feeling of Sakya in there, and like that. Yeah? And then finally, just this point that we establish this by going through. Like here, it appears that Bhishma Dev is establishing the sweetness by going through Arjuna also. That through Arjuna, you know, he's calling Krishna this, that, but he's, you know, he's qualifying it in terms of how that's manifest in terms of Arjuna. So So that's my humble comprehension of his verse. Any questions, comments, or complaints, or donations? I guess we accept PayPal.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Jai Prabhu.
Thank you for a wonderful class. I have a question. I hope I can articulate this in such a way that you understand what I'm talking about. But there was a devotee that I knew. He may still be around. He would go to the bars, and he made no pretense or he didn't hide that he would he drinks, because he's above the regulative principles. And because that's for neophytes. So he would go to the bars and he would preach to people. And sometimes those people would come to the temple. I didn't know what to think about this. On one hand, I was thinking, geez, he sometimes brings more people to the temple than I do. But at the same time, he's just like preaching bogus philosophy. And then you find, other devotees that are maybe not so gross, but, that also are not exactly in line with Srila Prabhupada's teachings, but they also, make disciples. And so this is the other thing, is that with that description in the Upadeshamrita, that you can recognize an Uttama Adhikari by the amount of, or by him having the ability to make many devotees. We were just listening how we shouldn't see externals as necessarily a sign of a person's advancement. So would that also refer to something like the ability to bring people to Krishna consciousness? Because, just like Lokanath Goswami, he only had one disciple. But of course, he's Uttamadhikari, no doubt. But so there's a couple of points, don't we have to be careful about if devotees are not strictly following or have some bogus philosophy, even though Krishna can take the gold out of a filthy place, then how do we deal with it? And the other thing is that what about externals? How do we really tell who's an Uttamadhikari and who's not?
Well, it's an intense question. Going back to the Nectar of Instruction text here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur can be recognized by his ability to convert many fallen souls to Vaishnavism. So that makes it pretty clear, huh? Yeah, because just bringing people to the temple, actually there was one devotee, and he was, all these guys were coming to see him like that. Is the so-and-so here, So it became pretty obvious very quickly he was dealing drugs out of the temple. Because they'd come, he would say, "Oh, hello, yeah, come, let's go for a walk," And it's like, I have to go to my room and get something, I'll be right back, And so after some time it became obvious what he was doing was selling drugs out of the temple, And so you can do so many things to attract people to the temple like that, For example, right across my window here, across this four-lane street, there's an outreach center, cabin, hut, and it's where people put their extra clothes, for poor people, or whatever, Salvation Army type thing. And I just noticing it because I'm watching all day, and it's just about every day at least about eight women. I haven't seen one man one time. Eight cars pull up with women, and they put these big bags full of clothes in this thing. And every day one car hauls it away, So if we have the same thing, we set up the same thing like ISKCON and food relief and this and that and everything else. Well, so many people, will come out of a sense of of piety or something like that, So there's so many ways to get people to come to the temple, but to convert fallen souls to Vaishnavism, that's something else. And the definition of pure devotional service is anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. Anukul yena, there's the word, Krishna anu shilanam, bhakti uttama. Shilanam, activity, anu, through the parampara, Krishna, for Krishna. So who was helping Krishna the most? Krishna had a mission of incarnation. Krishna had to get rid of all these extra kshatriyas like that. That was his mission of incarnation. So who helped him the most to do this, to get rid of all your kshatriyas?
Arjuna.
Okay, somebody else said Balaram. I say Duryodhana. Because Duryodhana got them all in one place at one time where Krishna can annihilate them all within 18 days. Yeah? But it wasn't Anukulyena. It was Pratikulyena. He was an empowered servant of Krishna. He was doing empowered service for Krishna. But it wasn't with a conscious intention to please Krishna. So it was Pratikulyena, as I understand the Sanskrit, not Anukulyena. So we're chanting our rounds, for example. We have to analyze, am I really doing this with a conscious intention to please Krishna? Yeah. So it's a subtle thing. You know? But that's my analysis would be that, yeah, we can't. It's not just a matter of judging just by the externals. We judge by the externals and the internals both. Bahir Nishingho, Hriday Nishingho, you know? But so the internal aspect also has to be there. And then somebody can be empowered, you know, for different reasons, you know? Different levels of consciousness, you know, like that. Okay?
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Very nice class. Prabhupada here on the purport says the root cause of all troubles is there in false egotism. Can you expand a little bit on that?
No. Well, again, it's just like because somebody could be doing something. You know, externally, it may be like, you know, for example, probably gives the example like somebody, his neighbor was beating his kid, beating his child. The child was howling, you know, this and that. So very interesting. So probably the family's wondering, what's our neighbor doing, you know? So he asked one of his servants to ask, you know, a servant in the neighbor's house. It's interesting, a point of parampara. And the servant came back and was smiling and kind of saying, oh, he said the older boy has typhoid, and so he can't eat, otherwise it will kill him, you know. But he was like pressuring his younger brother to go get some chapatis and everything for him, hot chapatis. And the younger brother said, well, no, mama and daddy said you shouldn't do this and this and that, you know, so forth, so on. So, but finally he did it. And then the younger, older brother got very sick, almost died, you know. And so the father was beating on the kid, like for disobeying orders and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, here it is, you know, maybe externally the man is like cruel and vindictive and hurting a child. But what's the reason? You know, actually, is he thinking that this has to be for this boy's benefit? Yeah. If that's he's completely free from false egoism in that sense, like not trying to dominate anybody. He's doing it for everybody's benefit, for my older son's benefit. And my younger son should also learn the lessons, learn a lesson that this is a horrible thing, you know, to disobey authorities like that. Yeah. So many times like that, we see something where it's externally is like this and that. Arjuna didn't want to fight. Arjuna wanted to be a good man. He didn't want to hurt people. But that was false egotism. Yeah. The real egotism is to do whatever Krishna wants. So that's what I understand is that the main thing is this Ishwaraham Aham Bhogi. I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, I'm perfect, I'm, you know, supreme friend. And we got that in any activity that contaminates the whole activity. Whereas on the other hand, if we have a proper intention, it doesn't matter what we do. And if we kill off, you know, 640 million people.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, Maharaj, very much for a wonderful Any other comments or questions?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Just through a real crowd, there's almost 30 devotees. It's all glorious to your service.
I just want to make a quick comment. I was there in L.A. when Maharaj was there, and I think he was a brahmachari at the time. And even at that time, he was giving little classes, and he was very, very humble, and I always remember her as very, very humble devotee.
Thank you, I guess. Your mercy. One time Jayananda, he gave a class and he said, humble doesn't mean being artificially small. He says, humble means really realize what your position is. and not doing too small or too big. Just realize who you are and act according to that, you know. Yeah. But anyway, I want to thank everybody. For me, it's a very nice audience. And, you know, with a nice audience and stuff like that, of course, it's very easy to talk about Krishna. You know? So thank you very much. I hope you have a good day, you know, killing demons for Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Bruce, I just have one announcement. That's tomorrow morning. Mother Urmila is giving part 4 of her seminar on Isha Upanishad. So please listen in. And then another thing is that if you want to listen in tonight, Shureshwar Prabhu is going to give Bhagavad Gita class or, you know, evening here in Hawaii. So whatever part of the world you're in. And again, thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Radhe, radhe.
Radhe.